Finding the right job, finding the right career, is something most of us face at some point. Some of us spend most of our lives trying to find the answer to that question. Today's guest thinks it's vital that we see our career as a calling as well. Well, if you're struggling with a job or career question or decision, maybe we can help you today. This is MoneyWise, and here to provide us with biblical and practical wisdom is the founder of Compass, author and teacher Howard Dayton. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-525-7000. We also have a guest with us today whose passion and job is to help you find one. I'm Steve Moore. Glad you're with us on MoneyWise. Well, Howard, you've had several jobs in your lifetime, but did it take you a while to find what you believe to be your calling?
It sure did, Steve. I had a pretty strong sense that after I joined my partner in a study of what the Bible said about money, that I was ultimately called to help people learn God's way of handling money. But the Lord had me spend about 9 years working in real estate development, really to mature me. And really to get our finances in order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know even before real estate, we've chatted about it before. I mean, you went to college you received a degree in what, hotel management?
Was that right, one of those? Exactly right.
And then you ran a restaurant of your own, and then you got into real estate. So you don't see those years as wasted years.
Absolutely not. I mean, the Lord had so much maturing to do, and all along He was grooming me, maturing me, really for the calling He ultimately designed for me. I just had to grow up in so many areas, Steve, and, learn leadership, servant leadership, and mature in my relationship with Christ, all those things. Happened in those different jobs.
Yeah. Well, joining us by phone today is our guest, Robbie Romeiser. Robbie is a commercial real estate broker and instructor. He's also the author of the daily devotional, Today's Quote from God.com. He also founded Career Callings, which is at careercallings.net, to help people find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. He hosts a weekly podcast, Career Callings, and he's a deacon in his local church. He and his wife, Stephanie, have 3 children, and they live just north of where I am in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world. And Robbie, welcome to MoneyWise.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Good to be here today. Appreciate the opportunity.
Sure thing. Tell us a little bit about yourself and more about the ministry.
Absolutely. Well, graduated in 1994 from college at a little college called Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, Georgia. You guys might be familiar with it. Some of your listeners might as well. And when I got out of college there, I started doing what most people in our country do. I started looking for a job that would make me millions of dollars. And I began to pursue a path of trying to find work that would fulfill the American dream as I had been taught it in our culture and as I had come to want. But by the year 2008, I kind of realized that that focus on money wasn't working out so well for me. And I was feeling kind of out of place, kind of felt like a, proverbial fish out of water kind of feeling, and that something wasn't right. So at that time, I began a journey of questioning God's purpose for my life. Got saved when I was an 11-year-old boy, but for many years wanted to do my own thing. But by 2008, I really sensed that I was going down the wrong path. I wasn't pursuing God's purpose for my life. I wanted to find out what He wanted me to do. So beginning in that time frame, through scripture reading and meditation and prayer, godly counsel for a lot of folks, I discovered that there was a process to discovering God's purpose and calling for your life vocationally in your career. And after years of about learning that process, I felt led by the Lord to found Career Callings, which you guys mentioned. And it was really twofold. Number one, to teach my children how to go about finding God's will for their lives, but also to help other people as well outside of my family to learn how to avoid the financial and emotional pain that comes with making a bad career decision. And the way to do that is to help people find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do, not their own purposes, but His for them.
Yeah, that's really good. Have you also had a few career stops and starts in your own life, Robbie?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. When I was hearing you go through your job history, Howard, I was thinking that I had a similar type of past. Same kind of process. So many of us have that same path of maturity that we have to go through. And first job I had out of college was in the insurance business. I worked in life insurance and supplemental health insurance. And then I got bright-eyed and bushy-tailed over the idea of all the money I could make in real estate investing. So I started doing that for a while. And then I opened up a seminar business, doing seminars on time management, team building, and sales and marketing for various associations, professional associations, wow, and companies. And then I went back to the real estate world, and I've been a commercial real estate broker since 2005, began teaching at South Carolina's oldest real estate school in 2008 as an instructor there, spent a short time doing some sales for a ministry that helps ministries raise money, and then finally, I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, and that's putting together career callings and helping people not make the same mistakes I made.
Wow. So career callings, your ministry, that involves a website, careercallings.net. You also do a weekly podcast, right?
I do, actually. Yeah, I have the podcast stored on my website as well, but it also airs on a local radio station up in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
And hoping to expand that reach at some point in the near future. But yeah, absolutely. Every week I do put that together and just try to share with people the things that God shows me on a weekly basis about how to go about discovering His call and finding work that fits that calling.
Okay, well, obviously we're not going to have enough time today to cover everything we want to talk about, but let me start with the callings part. Do you really, really believe that every job or every career is a calling, everything from landscaping to brain surgery?
I think every career can be a calling for a particular person, but it's not necessarily going to be a calling for everybody, if that makes sense. And the way what I mean by that is this. When God shows us what to do, it all boils down to what's the true purpose of work. So many of us, like I, the choices I made years ago when I started this path in my adult life, I thought the true purpose of work was to make a bunch of money, buy what I want to buy, live the American dream. And most people, I would venture to say, start from that same starting point. What we have to realize is that that's just a byproduct of work. That's not the driving purpose of work. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And that Greek word pleasure is the Greek word thelema, which means of what God wishes to be done by us. What that means is that if we're going to bring God pleasure, we're supposed to be doing His will. And if you're going to spend, as most people do, 2,000 plus or minus hours a year at work, don't you think God has an idea what work will bring Him pleasure? Mm-hmm. And should we not be seeking out what He wants us to do with the skills and abilities and personality and passions He's created us with? I mean, if He's going to be master over all our lives, and He is, that means He needs to be master over where we work and what we do in our daily work. And where we spend the vast majority of our time in our waking hours is at work. And that's where we do most of our influence outside of the family. So He needs to be over that realm of our life just like any other realm. And so if He directs me to become the brain surgeon, if He directs me to become the trash man, if He directs me and makes it obvious I'm supposed to be doing any kind of vocation, then yes, that's my calling. If I choose my calling for any other reason than His, then it's a job. It's not a call.
You know, I'm thinking back to when I was a young man, and I was a fairly new Christian. And my thinking was much like what you've just described. And when God's will wasn't made clear, I found myself frozen in place because I wanted to serve God by finding my calling and His career for me, and yet I couldn't. So then I became confused, and I was afraid to make a decision for fear that it would be the wrong decision and it would mess up my entire life from that point on. So, you know, so help a young college student graduating today, and then we'll get on to, you know, middle-aged people later. But so given the fact that we all understand that finding God's path for us sometimes is multifaceted and takes time, what does the college student do as far as moving on and starting their career under God's umbrella and God's will?
That's a great question. Let me just kind of start out with a framework. That indecision is very, very normal for a lot of folks. We have to approach this decision like we do every decision for the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom and let me trust you until you show me your path. Until that point is shown, let me take the next step faithfully in the direction I believe you want me to take. And if I could give a modern-day illustration of what I'm talking about, years ago when I was struggling with a decision to go into real estate brokerage, one of my mentors at church gave me this illustration. He said, look, I realized a little while ago, because this is about the time GPS systems were becoming popular, okay? He said, we want God to be like a roadmap. We want him to show us every turn between where we're starting and where we're ending. But God doesn't operate like a roadmap. God operates like a GPS system, and we have to trust him for the next turn. You look on a GPS system, you're not going to see every turn between here and your destination, but you're trusting that GPS to turn you the right way on the next turn, and that's the way we need to look at God, God's role in our lives. He's not going to show us every dot. He's not going to connect every dot for us, many times because we're not able to handle all that information at a particular time. Like Howard said, we have to mature. And so we had to take the attitude, you know, Lord, I might be making a wrong decision right now, but based on what I can tell, based on your word, based on prayer, based on godly counsel, I think I'm supposed to be taking this step. So take a baby step in that direction and let him show you whether or not that's the right choice.
Mm, that's good.
The Lord's going to direct our steps. He's going to direct our steps.
Yeah, that's good. Robbie, I know that you recommend a personal constitution. Tell us, what is that?
I ran across that idea some years ago reading a book by Hiram Smith, who is the founder of the Franklin Planner System, and he wrote a book called The 10 Natural Laws of Time and Life Management. And the whole idea behind that personal constitution idea is this. You know, you've only got so much time in every day, so much time in life, for that matter, to live. And if you were to break it down, every day, 24 hours a day, has 1,440 minutes. And if you take away an eight-hour a night sleep, let's assume that you take 8 hours to sleep, then that leaves you only 960 minutes a day to actually do stuff while you're awake, to do God's work. The personal constitution is all about helping you understand what's most important in your life and be able to identify the distractions that Satan is going to throw at you as you try to go about God's calling for your life. And if you can identify what God has shown you as the most important thing in your life he wants you to do, and you use this personal constitution to govern how you spend your time, then you can really be better prepared to fend off the distractions that come your way. When I wrote this down for myself some years ago, I came up with a five-pronged constitution. Number one, I want to live a life that honors God. Number two, I want to be a wonderful husband, father, and friend. Number three, I want to be an informed and involved citizen. Number four, I want to lead a healthy lifestyle. And number five, I want to be a good steward of all that God entrusts to me. And anytime I'm faced with a decision of any consequence, I try to measure it against that personal constitution. And if it doesn't fit in the proper order with that constitution, I say no to it, because that's a distraction that's keeping me from pursuing the work God wants me to do.
That's good.
It is good. What if you believe you're following God's calling? You look at your own talents, and it seems to be something you've received from God. You have talents, you have interests, you have feelings, you want to move in a certain direction, but you find that you can't pay the bills. We've had this call more than a few times. Someone's in some sort of business or industry. Often they're entrepreneurial, but they find that they still can't pay the bills, and they have a wife and kids. What do you say to that person?
That's a very real issue, no doubt about it, and this is what I would say. Pursue God's calling for your life anyway until it does pay the bills. And until it does pay the bills, do something else that does pay the bills. And I got a biblical example of that and a more modern example of it from someone whose name you'll probably recognize when I mention it. We all know Paul was a tent maker. Was tent making his calling? I would argue not. What was his calling? Be a preacher of the gospel. Did that make him any money? Well, no. Could it have? You know, if he'd be willing to accept some of the donations. I mean, one of the things he said is, I want to be a tent maker so not to burden you, Corinthians. All right. Regardless of where we go on that issue, bottom line is, he did have a job outside of his calling, but that enabled him to pursue God's calling. And that's a great biblical example about what we should do if God's called us in a particular direction to do a certain work. And if it doesn't pay the bills, do something else that will, until if and when God allows that calling to then provide the bills. And if it never does, you keep doing both, because your tent making will mean a whole lot more in your life when it's complemented by pursuing whatever work isn't paying the bills that God has shown you, obviously, to do.
Well, if God is not meeting your needs financially, and again, you have a family to support, is it possible that what you're pursuing is a door that needs to be and remain closed?
That is very much a possibility, and that's a matter of prayer and study and meditation. But absolutely, if you take a step, and I've had that issue. I've taken some steps in my past where I said, you know, I prayed, if I can say it this way, a surface prayer. Lord, is this something you want me to do? And I thought to myself, yeah, that was. And I took that step, and obviously it wasn't, because in retrospect, the reason it didn't provide, it didn't do what it was intended to do is because it really wasn't God's will.
Yeah. Good information from our guest today, Robbie Rollmeiser. You might want to check out his website. It's careercallings.net. You'll find information about his podcast and much more. More Money Wise when we return.
It's the leading cause of anxiety. It's the most common reason cited for divorce. It's the number one thing that distracts people from their walk with God. And too often, it hinders funding of the work of your church and other ministries. We're talking about money problems. But the Lord has given us the answers in His Word. And when your church members begin to understand and apply all the Bible has to tell us about money, the result can be nothing short of transformational. But frankly, while an occasional sermon on the topic is helpful, it's not enough to fix deeply ingrained habits. That's why Compass offers a 9-week small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. This study includes all the materials you need to help your members break the bondage of debt and financial strain, to experience a closer walk with God and stronger marriages, while increasing giving to your church and other ministries. Find out more about bringing the Navigating Your Finances God's Way small group study to your church. Call 1-800-525-7000 today.
Welcome back to Money Wise. We're talking about careers, callings, and jobs today with Howard Dayton and our guest, Robbie Rollmeiser.
Yeah, Robbie, we were talking before the break about a person's calling and what if it doesn't pay the bills, and you mentioned tent making, and I think you have another example, a current one, that might help people with this.
Yeah, exactly. Some years ago, I went to what they call a Worldview Weekend conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the speakers was David Barton, the founder of Wall Builders. And one of those times, or during that conversation, I went up to him, or during that convention, I went up to him and just asked him some questions, because this was the very beginning of the time when I was really searching for God's purpose in my life. And he said, look, I'm working in Wall Builders full time now, trying to educate the American public on our Christian foundings in our country. But I used to be a Christian school teacher and administrator. And when I first started Wall Builders, it didn't pay the bills. So I kept working at the school until such time as God grew that ministry to a point where it could support me. And then I could step away. So sometime we're going to have a tent maker situation like Paul, where we have to do both the entire life, our entire lives. Sometimes we'll have a David Barton situation where God will enable the calling to provide for our needs. The point is, whatever the calling is, you do it and you let God provide. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then God will take care of everything else.
Yeah, and certainly it's important for people to understand that our calling can be in secular work. When I was in the real estate development business, there wasn't a shadow of doubt in my thinking that for the time, this was God's call for me. And I viewed it just as much of a calling as a pastor or somebody in full-time ministry, Steve. And it's comforting to know that God places His people everywhere to reach the world around us. Well, how do you begin the search, Robbie, for your calling?
Well, there's a lot to that question, but if I can give people just one place to start, and the older you are and the more life experience you have, the easier it is to answer this question. But here's the question. If you were to ask yourself, and also ask people that know you and love you, what it is that you do well automatically, innately, that you do excellently, and that people recognize you for doing well and excellently naturally. And that is a tremendous clue to what God designed you to do. What do I mean by that? Well, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 31, where they began to build the temple, and God specifically pointed out a guy named Bezalel, as to that God had given him the tools and the talents to do just that kind of work. Obviously, he built things long before he ever built the tabernacle, but that skill set was perfect for that kind of work, and that's the kind of work that God wanted to do. For me, if I look back over my life, I can look back into the earliest days of elementary school that I can remember, and from that point forward to today, there is one skill that God has given to me that meets that criteria, and that's basically teaching. I love to teach, and I can grasp a concept and turn around and share it with other people in a way that makes sense to them. And I love doing it. I do it well naturally. That's not being anything other than, you know, God's gift. That's not me doing that. That's God's gift. And if you have, everybody, in my opinion, has that one or two things that God's really given them a special talent for, that's a clue to unlocking the answer to that question. Mm. And there's all kinds of work that would fit that. You might work in one job at one point that utilizes that skill, and God may direct you somewhere else. I mean, look at Joseph. How many jobs did Joseph have before he was second in command of Egypt? God will put us in places to utilize that skill, to build that skill, to mature us so that we can do his work for him.
Robbie, we have 60 seconds left, so make believe this program is your radio program. Sum it all up. What's the best advice you could give anyone listening right now who might be struggling with a job and career decision, whether they're 21 and they've just graduated from college, or whether they're 51 and let go from a job they thought they'd have all their lives and they're struggling to find God's will? Give us some excellent advice in 59 seconds.
Understand, the purpose of work is not to make money. Mm. Not to say that you can't make a ton of money doing God's work, because you can. God may put you in a position to make a ton of money, so that's irrelevant. Understand, the purpose is not that. The purpose is to glorify God. Whether you eat, you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Start there. Seek and pray for God's wisdom to have him show you through the Bible, through prayer, through godly counsel of godly people. Lord, what did you design me to do? Bring people in my life to guide me in the direction you want me to go, and help me to submit to your will, because that's what I'm here to do. That's how I bring you pleasure. Mm. If you take that search with that attitude, God will absolutely answer that prayer, because he answers every prayer that we ask in his will. And to do his will is in his will.
That's good. That's good.
That is good. Robbie Romeiser, thank you so much for joining us today on MoneyWise.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Robbie. Well, in the same way that the Bible is the cornerstone of our spiritual lives and our careers and jobs as he provides them, having a written plan is the first step in controlling your financial life. And a well-thought-out financial life means you need to know how much you make, how much you owe, and where it's going each month. To get you started, we'd like to offer you two items, and they're both free of charge: the Compass Money Map and the Compass Budget. Check us out at compassone.org to download the money map. For a long-term approach to your financial life, you'll find that under the Resources tab. And then under the same tab, look for Spending Plans and Budgets for a copy of the Compass Guideline Budget, which is really a template to help you get a good grasp on your weekly and monthly spending. So we provide the outline, the overview, and you fill in the specifics. Visit us at compassone.org. And then go to the Resources tab, and you'll find both items, the Compass Money Map and the Compass Budget. And please, when you visit us online, would you consider helping with a financial gift? The only way we can offer free financial counsel and free resources to those who need them the most is because of the generosity of our listeners. So if God has blessed you, would you consider helping us at compassone.org? Just click the Donate tab to make a tax-deductible gift today, and our thanks and appreciation in advance. compassone.org. Just click the Donate tab. For Howard Dayton, I'm Steve Moore. Hope you found today's program helpful and encouraging, and that you'll come back and join us again tomorrow.